We're going to make some applications about it. But first, before we get too far, we will go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. And then maybe a little bit of discussion if anybody has any questions. And we'll go from there. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer. We thank you so much, Lord, for the day that you have given us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have here to open up your word, Lord, to study, to see what it is that you have for us. And Father, we just thank you for the word of God and what you have given us. And Lord, in the guidance and direction that the Bible gives us and shows us the things that took place and why they took place. And Father, knowing how we can use those things to affect the future. And now, Lord, we pray that you'd have your will and your way in our Sunday school time here. Lord, I pray that you'd be with those that could not be here today due to sickness. Lord, I pray that you just lift them up. Lord, I pray that you would help them to feel better. And Lord, I pray that your will would be done in their lives. And Father, for those that are still traveling and on their way here this morning, Lord, I just pray that you would be with them. Lord, you'd keep them safe. And Lord, I just pray for those who have decided this morning to not come just because. Lord, I pray that you would just deal with their heart. Lord, I pray that you'd change their thoughts and their minds and they'd be here. And Lord, I'll just love and thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Oh, amen. Okay. Now, I'll go ahead and start out because we want some, you know, I want to make sure that I'm doing my best to answer questions of anyone who might have questions as far as the Bible study here, and so we'll start with that over last week. And does anybody got a question? Nobody? All right. Okay. Well, I was told, and she's not here this morning, but I was told there was somebody who was reading ahead and had some questions. But due to a child, she can't be here. But I'll give her opportunity. Tell her not to be too discouraged. But I figured if maybe she had some questions, maybe some others had some questions. But we'll go ahead and we'll move on then. Cleo, if you'll come up for us this morning, and you'll read for us Genesis chapter 7, verses 10 through 24. Genesis 7, 10 through 24.
Morning, family. Genesis chapter 7, starting in 10 and finishing the chapter. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 7th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with him into the ark. They, and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed, and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle, and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days.
Okay, as we look at some things here in the scriptures and understanding again and just kind of looking at this, why God allowed or I should say allowed is not the correct word. Why God brought the flood to the earth to destroy the earth. And again, this is not only documented in the Bible. Just about every culture around the world has a record of a worldwide flood in some form or another. And I just really kind of find that interesting because what I see here when I read this account of Genesis and the flood, and the impression that I get here when the flood takes place is God means what He says, and God sent the flood upon the earth as a judgment upon man's sin, on his immorality, his lawlessness, his violence. Man had become sinful and evil. He became so immoral and so lawless and so violent that there was not a godly person left upon the earth, with the exception of Noah and his family. And again, we kind of we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and guesstimating about the approximate population at the time of the flood was and of course this is very generously figured. There was approximately about 197 million people. At the time of the flood, and in all of those people, there were 8 that survived, 8 that God God delivered, and I just kind of, you know, when you think about how many people there were, irregardless of whether you agree it was 197 million or how many there were, there was a greater number that was a huge number of those that were destroyed because of sin than there was that survived. But and as I read through this, and I kind of went through and again marked in the scriptures, and I encourage you to do that. And as I've told you before, I like to pay attention to the small words. The word were and was. It is all through this verse. And again, you say, well, what does those words have to do with anything? Well, what we understand and what I took away from this as I was looking at it is God means what He says. And that's really important for us to understand because, again, we live in a culture today. We live in a world today that most people have the attitude, nobody can tell me what to do. I'm my own person. I'm my own boss. I don't have to answer to anybody. Well, first of all, unfortunately, they teach that to our kids in school. And secondly, it's a lie. It's not true. There's not a one of us here today that really is our own boss. And because, again, you know, and we can even include Brother Wayne back there in that. You know, he owns his own business, but he's not his own boss. Because when the customer calls and says, hey, I need this fixed and I need you now, he's got a boss. If he wants to keep a customer, he's got a boss, and he's got to put aside what he was doing. Now, if any of those customers call, you tell them you've got a greater boss, and that's God, and you can't go today. But the point there is each and every one of us have a boss. Each and every one of us has someone that we should be and are accountable to. As the pastor of the church here at Faith Independent Baptist Church, I am the under-shepherd. I have a boss. And that's not you all. But I have a boss, and that boss is the Lord Jesus Christ. That boss is a book that God has given, that is 66 books that God has given, and I am to remain in that category. And again, just kind of bringing this out and pointing this out here. And so Noah here in verse number 10, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth." Again, I marked down there what God says he means. When he told Noah 120 years prior, he needed to build an ark. And we talked about that, and Noah did it all by faith. It got down to the last 7 days. God approached Noah and told Noah, "In 7 days, I'm going to cause the rain to come, and I'm going to flood the earth." 7 days later, exactly 7 days later, that's exactly what happened. And then we see some other important information here in verse number 11. The Bible lets us know how old Noah was at the time that the flood came. It says, "Now in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights." Now again, as far as timeline, and God wanted us to know exactly how old Noah was. I just kind of find this interesting. And again, you say, well, what was the purpose of us knowing how old Noah was? You know, I'll be real honest with you. I'm not real sure. But eventually, somewhere along the line, God's going to reveal that to me, because you say, well, why is it important? Well, because God recorded it. And it 600 years old. And again, the detail of his age is why I believe it's important, because he says 600 years old, the second month, in the 17th day of the month. And again, what God wanted us to know, and I believe one of the importance of knowing this is going back in history. Because again, Noah, the genealogy of up to Noah is not only in the Bible, it is also in public record. I should say historical record. We would call it public record today. And God wanted us to know exactly when. Why would that be important for us now? Well, because then there would be no mistake. Because there are people, even though there's physical evidence, there's historical evidence, will say a great worldwide flood never took place. And they might even go as far as to say, as well, you know, that's just what those religious people believe. That's what's written in their silly book that they hold on. Well, no, you can go back and find other proof. So then it goes on and it says the same day, that age, that same day, it says all the fountains, in that same day, all the fountains of the great deep broke up. And so now again, what we see from that, there was not only rain falling out of the sky, there was also rain coming up, but water coming up from the earth. The Bible says all the fountains from underneath. You know, so again, as we think about that, we think of, years ago, it's not so much now, but I'm sure there's probably maybe somebody still living off of a well. You have a piece of property in the middle somewhere and you dig a well and there's water underneath there. Well, what the Bible was letting us know, all of those fountains of the deep, all of those rivers and all of those waterways under the earth, the Bible says, they broke up and they came up. So they flooded the earth. And then it says, and the windows of heaven were opened up. Understanding in this day what was going on, and again, Noah not understanding what rain was, up until this point of the flood, it did not rain. There was mist from the earth that came up, and there was a mist from heaven that came down and watered the earth. We did not have rain as we have rain today. This is just letting us know what took place, and the reason I explained that is to help you understand what was taking place here and why it was so significant. It just wasn't rain. The windows of heaven, and as we go all the way back to the day of creation, when God divided, the Bible says when God divided the firmament, so there was water above, and there was water below. And then the Bible says that he commanded the earth to come forth, and so the waters beneath were divided, and so just very interesting things here. And then the Bible says here, not only did the fountains of the deep break up and the windows of heaven open up and pour out rain, the Bible says, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. What I take away from all of this, God means what he says. When he told Noah to build the ark, he gave him 120 years to build the ark. And he said, I'm going to judge the earth, and it's going to rain, and the entire earth will be covered with water. He told Noah, even back then, he said, it'll rain for 40 days and 40 nights. I usually, when it rains and it's cloudy or overcast skies, I'm usually, you know, I can handle it for a couple of days, but after that, it's just not a pleasant time. I can only imagine how Noah felt 40 days and 40 nights of pouring down rain. And then the Bible tells us, it goes on in verse number 13, in the self same day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. And again, it's letting us know the only human beings that went into that ark and survived were Noah, his sons, and their wives. The only human beings, sole survivors. And the Bible says the other things that went in the ark, as far as living things, not human, but as far as living things, they and every beast after his kind. All cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, every fowl after his kind, and every bird of every sort. Now, as I look at that and as I think about the commotion and everything must have been on the ark, And the amount of animals that went on the ark with Noah, and the purpose of that was to preserve animal species. And praise the Lord, I'm glad that they have done that. Of course, I guess the Lord, if he created them, he created them in the first place, he could have recreated them again, but he chose to preserve them. As I think about all of this, you see the next verse here of all of the animals that came to the ark. And the Bible says in verse number 15, and they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two, and all flesh wherein the breath of life. Now, I kind of really find that interesting, and just kind of making an application here, as I got to reading that and I got to looking at it, all the animals came to the ark. And the Bible says they went in. They went in unto Noah. I really kind of found those words very interesting. They went in unto Noah. And as I got to reading that and I got to thinking about it, the Lord just kind of brought to my mind. You know, the animals didn't walk in and just stroll through the ark where they wanted to go. They went in and went to where Noah took them to and instructed them to go to, and how they were to go in. They were to go two by two of all flesh, wherein the breath of life was breathed. You know, and I got to thinking about it, and we're going to be dealing more about this in the next hour as far as the church. You know, I got to thinking about that. You know, it's kind of like a church. We come in on Sunday mornings to get instruction. We come in to be directed on where to go and how to go. And I just really kind of find this interesting that the animals just didn't walk in and stroll all over the ark wherever they wanted to go. They were given instructions. They were divided up. There were categories. There were places that they were put, and there were reasons that they were put that way and things that they were said that way. And I just got to thinking about our church, and I got to thinking about even messages that God lays upon my heart to give to you as a church. There's purpose. There's reason. There's instruction. And God brought the animals to Noah to give them further instruction. And you can kind of, I'll just let you all draw the conclusions there, and we'll move on. And the Bible says, and they went in unto Noah into the ark, two by two, of all flesh. And again, some of those key words that I kind of write down and are marking my Bible that I really kind of think it's interesting, because again, God means what he says. And those words, where, was. The other significant word that you see all throughout this portion of Scripture is all. And multiple times through the Scriptures, there's the word all appears. Just backing up a little bit in verse number 11, you see the word all the fountains of the deep. And then you head down to verse number 14, and it says in all the cattle. And then in verse number 15, and it says all flesh. And again in verse number 16 it says all flesh. And as you go through the scripture there, and what we see here with those who entered into the ark, all were following and doing what God said to do. And I just really kind of think that's interesting. And then in verse number 16 the Bible says, and they that went in, male and female, of all flesh. God wanted to make sure that all species were preserved. So they went in, male and female. Irregardless of what we hear today in our world, it takes a male and a female to reproduce. Always has been, always will be. And irregardless of what somebody tells you, or what some weird scientist thinks, or some medical doctor that needs to go back to school, it takes a male and a female to reproduce. And then the Bible says, and God had commanded him, speaking to Noah, and the Lord shut him in. Again, that being very important, the last phrase there of the Bible, and the Lord shut him in. God commanded it, Noah obeyed, and God shut the door. Now, I believe that is very, very important, because God was the one protecting Noah. God shut the door. And when God shut the door, Noah couldn't open the door again, because again, you think about that, and I believe this is significant, because when the flood came, there was a lot of people that was in that area, and I'm sure there were probably a lot of spectators as they happened to notice the animals just kind of migrating and lining up out there in front of the ark, and Noah bringing them into the ark. I'm sure it probably drew quite of attention. I know if I'd have been alive during that time, of course, my prayer would be that I would have been on that I was on the ark. But you know, I would have found it interesting to watch all of these animals just all of a sudden just start migrating and heading towards the ark, and all lining up out there to get on board. And when the waters came, I think it's significant, and the Lord let us know that the Lord, and again, it's that word Lord there is all in capital letters, so what it has let us know there is that that's talking about God, Jehovah, God Almighty. He shut the door. We can speculate and think probably many reasons for that, because I'm sure there was a lot of pounding on the door when the water started getting up around their ankles and up around their knees. I'm sure there was a lot of pounding on the door, and who knows? Noah may have tried to open the door to let more in. It's kind of like we think about the sinking of the Titanic, you've all kind of watched. I'm sure most of y'all have watched that movie or the historical document about it, and they talked about how the guards and the lifeboats would, because of all the people that were in the water, went out away from the people because boats were being capsized because everybody was trying to get in. And I'm sure at this point, when the water started and started increasing upon the earth, if Noah would have opened up that door, there were a lot of people that decided that, hey, maybe Noah wasn't as crazy as we thought he was. And we change our mind and we went in. But there comes a point. Noah spent 120 years building the ark. In the last 7 days, there was still opportunity. There comes a point when we continue to ignore God, and when we continue to do our own thing, and when we continue to disobey God, there comes a time, folks, when God shuts the door and you suffer the judgment of your actions. And as the Bible tells us, even of a salvation, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. That's that door being shut. You have until you die to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you don't, well, then you will spend eternity in hell. You say, well, does God send people to hell? No, people send people to hell by rejecting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this particular judgment of the flood, there was ample warning, there was ample opportunity, but people cared more about other things and went along with it. So what we see here is God closed the door. Who's in charge? God's in charge. And then it tells us in verse number 17, and the flood was 40 days. Again, there's one of those key words, was. We could probably label this as an affirmative word. It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't a type. It wasn't someone's imagination. It wasn't a vision or a dream somebody was having. It's an actual thing that took place. And it says, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the water increased and bare up the ark, and it lifted up the ark above the water. Now, I really kind of find this interesting because of the day of judgment, that God brought judgment upon the earth, was also a day of grace to everyone that was on the ark. So when judgment was given, there was also grace given. Now Noah rode in the storm, but above the floodwaters. Think about that, how the Bible says that. I just really love that. The Bible says the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the water increased and bear up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And so God used the water and the ark to save Noah. And again, I can just see it in my mind's eye, as the Bible says. And the word that the Bible, that the word of God uses, is says bear. You know, bear up the ark. You know, I can almost see in my mind, and this is your nutty preacher. I can almost, you know, just kind of picture in my in my mind, you know, almost like a mother that holds a baby. As the flood waters came up, the Bible says that it bared the ark above the earth. And so again, what we see is we see grace. We see judgment, we see grace. In verse number 18, and the Bible says, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. You see, Noah was definitely going through judgment. I'm sure Noah was probably scared to death. I mean, because Noah, yes, he had the promise of God. He had the promise of deliverance. He moved with faith. He moved with fear. He did everything exactly how God told him to do it, to the letter, followed it to the T. He's in the boat. But I'm sure it probably wasn't necessarily smooth sailing. I mean, anybody that's ever been on a boat on a choppy lake, no matter how large the boat is. Now, the larger the boat, yes, obviously, the less you feel the waves, and we do understand how big the ark was, and I'm sure there was some comfort in that. But again, a worldwide flood, and for to rain 40 days and 40 nights, and the windows of heaven pouring out water, and the fountains of deep, I'm sure it was a very, very rough ride. But the Bible says here, and the ark went upon the face of the water. In verse number 19, and the water prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all, again, here's those key words, and all the hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. Now again, why would that be significant? Well, I'm sure probably the first thing people started doing when they realized they couldn't get in the ark, they started going to higher ground. What would you do? I mean, hey, if it started flooding here, and the creeks on both sides started, coming up, we'd get out of here and we'd head up the hill. We'd head to higher ground, and I'm sure that there were probably plenty of people in that day that were heading up for higher ground. But the Bible says all the hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. And again, why is that significant? Well, I believe it's just God letting us know that there wasn't anybody escaped. There was no place, no matter how high they went, they did not escape judgment. And again, you say, well, what's the application there? Folks, no matter how far you run from God, you will not escape judgment. You will not escape judgment. And then the Bible says it prevailed, all the hills, and were another one of those affirmative words, under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Now, if it wasn't covered enough by just saying the hills, the Bible's letting us know, okay, exactly how high the water got over even the mountains. And again, leaving us and helping us to understand that there was no survivors except for those who were in the ark. And again, as I think about what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary for us in providing salvation for us, if you want eternal life, if you want to escape an eternity in hell, the only way that you'll do that, excuse me, is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Any other way just ain't going to do it. What God is being so clear in this judgment because of man's sin and because the sin in Noah's day, there were none that escaped the judgment of God. And that still stands true today. There's none of us that will escape the judgment of God. You say, what about heaven? How do you get there? Well, by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to escape the upcoming judgment, like Noah escaped the judgment in his day, you will put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't know that I believe that. I don't know if I want to do that. Well, then you won't escape the judgment. You will spend eternity in hell forever. If you want to go to heaven, just as God shut the door in Noah's day, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And so verse number 21 here, and it says, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. Again, the Word of God is letting us know here, no doubt at all, the only survivors were those who were in the ark. Verse number 22, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. Period. No questions. Of every living substance, in case you doubted it, of every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping thing and fowls of heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. Look at how many verses there that God devoted to helping us to understand. Sometimes we like to live in our own little perfect world and think, I'll work it out this way or I'll work it out this way. You know, yeah, that may have happened to somebody else, but this isn't going to happen to me. Well, I'm sure there were people in Noah's day that felt the same way. Yeah, listen to that preacher. Listen to Noah carry on and carry on. That doesn't include me. Now, that might include my neighbor, but it doesn't include me. So God made it clear that all flesh died. The only ones that survived that were on the ark. And as we see here in the bottom of verse number 23, and every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the earth, or on the face of the ground, both man, cattle, the creeping thing, and the fowls of heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah, see that word there, next word, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And we'll get to it in a bit here, but 8 sole survivors and the animals on the ark. Can you imagine what Noah thought? You know, can you imagine, you know, what was going through Noah's mind? He was going through the judgment and God's grace was put upon him by him surviving. But can you imagine Noah thinking about what happens afterwards? How's all everything going to work? And then the Bible says here in verse number 24, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. God wanted us to know the length of the judgment. And again, I really believe full-heartedly that God gave us these details to let us know that what he says, he means. And again, you say, well, what does that have to do with us today? Well, there's a judgment coming. This is not the last judgment we're going to see. The Bible tells us the next judgment will be, as far as this earth is concerned, it will be by fire. And everything that is left here in this earth will be destroyed by fire. And the Bible says death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And so that is an upcoming judgment. My question for you is, where are you going to be? In that judgment, where are you going to be? Because again, there is a type of ark there, and that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're on the earth at the time of that judgment, when that fire comes down, you will be spending your eternity in hell forever. You will, and before that time comes, you say, well, when is that day coming? Well, I'm not sure. It'll be after the rapture. It'll be after the tribulation. It'll be after the millennial reign of Christ here on earth. But that, you can count on it. You can mark it down and you can write it down. It will happen. You say, well, what's going to happen next? Well, what happens next is the rapture. When is it going to happen? Well, the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. But we do know it's coming. And so we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. The same day of judgment, the same day that judgment fell, so did grace. Now, the difference between what took place in Noah's day that will take place on the next time that God judges this earth is there won't be any survivors. There won't be any survivors. And so to avoid that time, to avoid that day, you need to have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. When God spells out judgment, He also leaves a opportunity for grace. And so I want to encourage you, if you want to escape the next coming judgment, I want to encourage you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to encourage you to do that, because that is the only way. Just as the ark was the only way in Noah's day, today the only way to escape judgment and hell in eternity forever is by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I'm going to go ahead and end there, and we'll get back together here in about 12 minutes. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word and study the Bible. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to draw from what we've seen in the day of Noah. And Lord, understand that there is another judgment day coming because you must and will judge sin. And Father, I just thank you for my sin that was judged through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you that I'm cleansed and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't have to worry about the next judgment coming up. And Lord, because I'll be safe and secure with you. And now, Father, I pray that you would have your will in your way in our next time, in our next hour. And we ask all these things in your name we pray. Amen.